Welcome, Paul.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you for being here. So let's dive right in with what we were chatting about off air, which is that we are still waiting with bated breath to find out who the mayor of San Francisco is going to be. And I know that with the Affordable Housing Alliance, you had met with both London Breed and Mark Leno as they were courting the endorsement of the alliance. Can you give us your sense of how each one does or does not see the interrelatedness of economic injustice to broader issues of sustainability and have policies to address those issues?
Sure. And part of this is kind of a hunch because, you know, I'm seeing things through a sustainability lens that not everybody looks at. But London Breed was, you could say, a national leader in sustainability in bringing San Francisco to ban styrofoam in 2016. And so she has the mindset that of environmental issues. You know, unfortunately for me, I think sustainability is considered an environmental issue rather than a social issue, a economic issue, and an environmental issue, which it theoretically is, but we'll talk about that later. And Mark Leno, he one of his legislation was in 2007 at the in the State Assembly. He voted for, he authored actually, the Complete Streets Initiative, which puts funding in and policy standards in place so that streets can be better suited for public transit, cars, pedestrians, et cetera. And so, and which leads to lower greenhouse gases, et cetera. So he has, just from those two bits of legislation as a microcosm, one is kind of a single issue thing, and one of it's kind of what appears to be a single issue, but it has connections to other issues. And I think that's one of the key things for me in sustainability is the connectivity between issues.
And so you're saying the latter initiative presents a broader sense of that interconnectedness and addressing a holistic approach.
Right, to me, yeah.
So let's talk about the issue of sustainability. One, what is sustainability, but also what sustainable cities mean. So those two ideas together.
Right. So sustainability has a long history, and there's chapters written and books written and journals written about what it means. And I think, to me, I used to work for the National Park Service, and I think their credo kind of summed it up for me in that, you know, taking care of the issues today and while taking care of the issues for the people who come after us, our children, our grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren. So that aspect covers everything that you can imagine talking about, because there's many problems that we have today that are inherited from our ancestors, and then there's many problems today that don't seem to have kind of immediate solutions that we could probably address to make the people who come after us more appreciative.
We're speaking to Paul Rehberg. He's a sustainability research and the author of a report called Planning for a Livable City. I want to turn to the back to the question of San Francisco. It's held up in national politics as like the far left political space within America. And we're about to be in a situation where there will be both a new mayor and a new majority on the Board of Supervisors. If current trends in the ballot count are right, for the very first time, both branches of city government will be in control of people who identify as part of the progressive wings of city politics. What's possible policy-wise? What is not being discussed that should be discussed, in your opinion?
Man, those are whole shows. good question. So what's possible? I think by what you just said about San Francisco kind of wears it on its sleeve, that we are progressive and we're not just a national leader, but a international leader progressively. For example, recycling is kind of our biggest badge of honor in that regard. But to go back to your question of what's possible, The state has recently amended their general plan guidelines so that cities have to address walkable communities, healthy communities, sustainability, livability in their environmental justice in their general plans. And they have to do that with rigorous analysis and strategies so that these things can get implemented, because a lot of times general plans are written and they have lots of laudable goals, but they don't necessarily get implemented because the devil's in the details kind of thing.
Well, talk specifically, because you've studied San Francisco a lot. So in a summary of what you had found was that San Francisco's general plan, and first we'll ask you to quickly say, what is the general plan?
The general plan is basically the city's strategy for dealing with every issue that city money goes towards.
Sounds good. That the general plan, quote, woefully inadequate, incomplete, badly out of date, and poorly integrated. It doesn't meet San Francisco's own standards or the state requirements. And this is basically to achieve sustainability. And so what's wrong with what's happening in San Francisco?
So in one thing, I mean, there's many, many things, and they have historical and cultural histories, I mean, that go along with those problems. But one of the problems is that there's a lot of subversion of the planning process, if you will. So there's like spot rezoning where the mayor's office and a developer will get together and say, this is what we need to make this development happen. And so then the planning code is subverted, the planning department is subverted, and city policies are subverted. And so because often when we as people do planning, we're not that proactive. We're often more reactive. And so that's one of the problems with planning in general.
To achieve sustainability that meets this goal, which is trying to have a city that is affordable, healthy, addresses its climate, addresses the needs of all of its people, and that's what we mean by sustainability, what isn't San Francisco doing that we think it is doing? We think that San Francisco is doing these things, and you're saying it's not. Why do you think it isn't why do you think it is not doing it, and what isn't it doing? And you can take your time to answer that.
Well, there's a long answer to that good question. So there's biological reasons, there's sociological reasons, there's political reasons, there's psychological reasons.
Let's look at the political ones.
So politically, there's what people say and there's what people do, and then there's the money behind politics, and then there's how districts are drawn. Fortunately, in California and in San Francisco in particular, how we choose legislators is kind of doesn't deal with that problem as much. We've kind of solved that problem to a certain degree, but money in politics, that's still a major problem, and we still haven't got around that.
And how is money making it so that the policies that need to be put in place to make the city sustainable aren't being put in place? So again, you know, what policies should be happening that aren't, and then why is, you know, money influencing that?
Well, I think there's a lot of good policies that are on the pages that legislators and mayors have implemented or have ideas. Like, we have a sustainability plan that was written in the 90s, largely not really implemented.
Okay.
I mean, it was a lot of work. There's a lot of thoughtful people who attended meetings and created this document, which is fairly good. But where did it go from there? Not that far. So the problem with money is that it funds red herrings so that people look at that as a problem, the red herring as a problem, rather than the issue at hand. It also isolates single problems like homelessness. That's the bad apple, rather than all the things that connect to homelessness, poverty, eviction. The list is long, and I don't want to just laundry list it. So.
And they're not being treated as interrelated issues.
Right.
And from a policy perspective, they're not being treated as interrelated issues.
Right.
You've looked at cities that do it well. What are some examples of cities that are doing a good job compared to San Francisco?
I think, people often ask me this, and it depends on what's important to you. Like, for example, if biodiversity is important, Singapore is great. If public transit is important, Toronto is great. If you want a vision of taking a city forward sustainability, Vancouver is a pretty good model. So there's lots of cities that have big ideas in one place, but not too many cities that have it all together in multiple categories that are trying to bring everybody up, not just the economy, not just people who are suffering or people who are not suffering, and not just the environment, whether it's recycling parks, biodiversity. Each of those things, needs public support and public attention.
Speaking of Paul Rehberg, he's a sustainability researcher, author of Planning for a Livable City, and a lot of his work focuses on the city of San Francisco, whose fate seems to be very much in the balance as many residents of the city are waiting with bated breath to find out who their next mayor may be. The rate that ballots are being counted right now, that may be at least a week off.
Yeah, and I don't think that I heard climate change or environment mentioned once in the San Francisco mayor's race. And we did hear, to get back to your earlier point, that the number one issue that San Franciscans kept ranking as their issue of concern was homelessness.
Right.
Yet never this interconnected sense of problems.
Right.
So, why do you think it is that we're not talking about these issues publicly and politically in the way that they should be?
Well, it goes back to what my answer earlier about the multi-pronged reason for why we don't, the biological, the political, the social, and the psychological. So all those factors keep us kind of with blinders from being able to look at term issues, big picture issues, and it's just not pressing, thinking about it from a personal thing. When you have something in your face and it seems like a problem, that's the most important problem that's in your face. Something that is kind of slow or it's been with you your entire life, say you're a person of color, you've been treated differently your entire life. So it doesn't have the same kind of solvability potential that something like a homeless guy on your front stoop seems like. That's more solvable than institutional racism.
So, but like, get specific. I mean, the policies in San Francisco are in play.
Right.
The visible problem is homelessness. There's like a consensus among San Francisco voters on that. If you want to take a more systemic, integrated approach to dealing with homelessness, what does that look like? What does a city government actually do?
Oh my God. So I think, looking at Mark Leno's approach, that seems to be a more systemic approach where he's looking at addressing mental health issues, addressing getting people in housing as soon as possible, and making sure people don't get evicted. So those three things in general are excellent starts towards solving homelessness. One of the things that is important to me is, if you attach a learning component to any kind of policy direction, because any policy you come up with is going to have unintended consequences or issues that you didn't foresee. And so if you have this kind of learning approach, you'll be better able to deal with those things when they come up rather than they blame the original people who wrote the policy. Why didn't you think of that? We're people. We don't think about everything that's possibly going to happen.
Well, and if you can talk also specifically, so for example, the planning department is scheduled to update the transportation element of our general plan starting in 2019. Can you talk about how addressing a better transportation plan can also address affordable housing, for example?
Good question. So one way to do that would be to put those people who do that planning together in the same room. People who organizations who care about those things together in one room. And it's kind of messy, and it takes a little longer than just keeping these things separate. So the thing that people are very attached to is transit-oriented development, which sounds conceptually like a good idea, except there's some places that don't want that kind of thing in their backyard because it would change their neighborhood. Certainly has changed my neighborhood, but there's other neighborhoods who have been more successful in saying, not here. And so...
And that's building more housing units closer to public transit access points. Are there examples of cities that have done that well, or models within San Francisco where there has been the right approach to not displacing communities that can't afford to be displaced, but also, you know, really building up our making our cities more walkable and sustainable and livable?
Well, it's one thing that I had a hard time researching is, you know, one of the things, the problem with transit-oriented development and other sustainability issues, it leads to gentrification. Mm-hmm. And if that's not built into the process, people are kicked out, basically, of the places where they have lived. So I believe it's Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. and Boston have issues that deal with gentrification where they lower the tax rate for people who are in areas where the land values have skyrocketed because of gentrification. And that's just like a small step towards it, addressing gentrification. But like I said, it's important to anticipate that because that's going to happen definitely for sure.
So if you've already been there, your tax rate goes down so that you can better afford to stay there.
Right.
And a higher tax rate applies to someone who's moving in anew.
Right.
Right. But it begs a bigger question.
Good. Bigger question.
All development is not equal.
Correct.
Right? When you talk about transit-oriented development, too often there's no conversation about who the development is for.
Right.
And market rate development in San Francisco means someone who can afford to spend around $1 million for a condo.
Right.
Right? If you are building affordable housing, what's usually described as affordable, the income threshold in San Francisco is basically a two-income professional household.
Right.
So, you know, the question is, if you're building housing near transit, are you building it for tech commuters? Are you building it for public workers? Are you building it for actual poor people?
Right.
How does that influence the decisions you're making about how you design the spaces and the buildings and what amenities and services you bring in with them? And are you, in giving that housing out, giving any thought to a right to remain or a right to return to people who have a history in that neighborhood and are part of the social fabric of that neighborhood and facing displacement pressures?
So that's a fantastic question, and that's all a fantastic answer, because that's the issue, really. Because we build that development without asking that question of succinctly. I mean, that's why so many things happened and only rich people can afford them, because we're not asking the question you just asked.
So we're not demanding of developers and policymakers that they address these problems. And it's not like they're mysterious problems to be addressed. It needs to be demanded of the legislators to do it.
Or required.
Required.
Yeah.
Well, so that's the next question. You know, basically in our next... We don't have time. In our next 2 seconds, real quick, you know, how do you think listeners can get engaged to try and help create a sustainability process that looks at addressing our climate, our environment, economic injustice, racial equality?
I think one thing you could do is start thinking about connections between issues that you care about and maybe issues that you don't care that much about and why. Volunteer with organizations that kind of you're aligned with, and then, you know, get your media from people that make you think rather than make you angry or make you happy.
Good. That's a good place to wrap it up. Thank you so much for being with us, Paul Rehberg.
Thanks for having me.
Researcher who's worked with the last 6 years with Livable City on looking at policies on sustainability, how San Francisco's doing, how it compares to policies all around the world. And people can see a summary of that report on the Livable City website, and also more steps for getting engaged to help create a livable city. So thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks again.